Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew. The first part is Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, page 991 in your Pew Bible. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Second part, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, page 920. In your Pew Bible. Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. This is the word of God.
Joji, would you come forward? That's not a command. let's pray for Joji. Joji, thank you for having Joji with us here today. We thank you for her safe flight here, and we pray that you would provide her safety and sanctuary while she is here in Canada. She's going to be here for a full month, and we'll be flying to Winnipeg. So be with her and keep her safe. Lord, we also lift up her ministry with her husband Dan in the Philippines, being your instruments of peace. We pray now that you would relax her, make her feel comfortable. She is with family. We pray that you would speak through her very clearly and very loudly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Georgia.
Good morning. I send greetings from warm Philippines. And I was greeted with snow when I came last Friday. My husband sends greetings to you. Mindanao, where I came from, South Island of the Philippines, is still under martial law. And our president, the new president, is out to implement his war on drugs at all costs. So we have heightened military activities in Mindanao, tribal communities and farmers that we are working with in the areas where the communist people are suffering from unjust killings. So sometimes you ask yourself, is there hope? So my husband is left there, but I'm here to share with you living out love, LOL, not laugh out loud, but living out love. I do not come here to preach, but rather to share an insight that I have learned from this passage. I call it LOL. As a young girl, at age 10, I knew that I wanted to live out love. I just loved God so much and wanted to serve Him. Seeing the examples of my mom, when we go to poor communities in Manila, giving out food and sharing the gospel, I knew then that I wanted to become a missionary. Together with like-minded people, we called ourselves at that time Christians on the Move, or COM. We wanted to do something. We wanted to serve. In living out love, the main idea is that the content and the value of the Great Commission is the greatest commandment, as we have heard the scripture. the greatest commandment, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, linking that to the Great Commission, where it says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. As you would see, if we are commanded by God to love Him with all our heart, with all our minds, and with all our souls, and we have to share this to others, to go and make disciples of all nations, the going, the baptizing, and the teaching are just participles helping the main verb, which is make disciples. Now, what kind of a disciple are we making? Those disciples that love God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, and loving your neighbor as yourself. So if I want to live out love and communicate the message of our loving God, how do I do it? It has to start from me, from you, who received that love from Him. But I have to deal with my being first before I do something. Who am I? What is my purpose in life? My concept of love at that time was very shallow. I defined it according to my own capacity. I thought that if I marry somebody who loves God and knew God's word more than I do, that I could learn to live out love, that I'm following God. But no. My love was anchored on somebody, my husband, that if I play as a support person to him, that I was loving God. Yes, you may say that, but God has called me also for a specific purpose. Each one of us have a purpose why God called us and why we were born here on earth. And I was loving God by being a wife and being a mother, but love is learned. It evolves. As you mature and grow, the level of understanding of what love is also grows. It starts from your being, knowing your worth in front of God. And this is what we always teach the tribal communities and the Muslim people and the Christians in the Philippines. Who are you in front of God? What is your purpose in life? Why were I born in the Philippines? Why was I born in the Philippines and why not in Canada? Why do I have straight hair, not curly hair? Why am I darker, not white? All those questions. And until you settle that within you, knowing your being, knowing where you sit in front of God, then that's the only time you would know what God wants you to do. So the next would be doing your act of service. Your act of service produces an impact, and that is your having. So if you do something with your hands, with your talents that God has given you, it produces an impact to other people. You may see half happy life to a community that you're serving with. You may see how God have used you to others. Now, as we serve God as a missionary, live out love seems to be a challenge. Loving someone who is lovable is easy. But loving others who are different from you is another thing. Forcing yourself to love the others that you don't like. But that's part of the commandment, love your neighbor. I remember the times at Richmond Center Mall, one early morning, after bringing my children to school, I went inside the mall, just wanting to have a cup of coffee, early in the morning, 7 a.m. But I saw a big group of Chinese people, Japanese and other nationalities, doing Tai Chi. And I watched them, and later on, I joined them. I have lots of questions, but one of them was, how do I show love to these people without expecting anything in return? I do not even speak their language. You know how when we are Christians and we are out to convert everybody to become like us? But my question at that time was, how do I show love even if that person would not commit themselves to Christ? Do I still show love to them, or do I just erase them on my list? During those times, I just relate with them by joining the Tai Chi exercise, then Yamcha or Dim Sum. I was merely listening to them and relating with them, listening to the conversations that I don't know what they're talking about, watching their mouth speak their Chinese language and trying to catch. I helped senior citizens during that time and new immigrants to file their taxes. I did my social responsibility as a good citizen of this world and my service to God on the talents that God has given me. In spite of all these things that we are doing as missionary, something is still missing. There are still more that we wanted to express our love to God. Then one day, Dan said, he asked me if we could work in the Muslim people, with the Muslim people. And my feelings were mixed. I carried that baggage of fear that I did not know was there because of my upbringing. I grew up in a military family, and those military family would be the ones sent by our government to fight the Muslim down south and try to convert them to Christianity. So whenever they come back home, they would have stories about the Muslims and how they are. And I have that baggage in me saying, they are bad people. And that's the baggage that I have. So when Dan told me, how would you feel us going to the Muslim area? Also at that time, I do not want to leave my comfort zone. It's nice to be here. I like living in Canada. This is heaven for me. I told Dan at that time, I did not hear God's call, and that I am willing to support him, and he would go there for 6 months and come back here. I'll just support him. That's my plan, because I don't want to go. But as Dan was there, living with them, God spoke to me. Do you really want to plan other people's money and make them rich? Or do you want to use your talent helping poor people have money? Those are the things that just put up front on my face. I had to rush. I had that rush to obey him in spite of my fear, my questions of the unknown, and my readiness to give up my comfort zone. Ikigai. I've come across this through Facebook, and I like the concept. It's a Japanese concept of reason for being. That which you love, that's your passion and your mission. That which the world needs, that's your mission and vocation. That which you can get paid for, that's your profession and vocation. And that which you are good at, that's your profession and your passion. Now, if you have all this mix and you have reached that balance, then you have that ikigai, your reason for being. To be able to apply this love and to live out love, I have to go to the basic. I need one, that love energized harmony with God. I have to go back to that root. Do I love God? How do I love God? Who is my creator? Why am I created? How do I relate with him? And in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I have to bow down my whole being to my Creator. Second would be a love energized harmony with one's being, with yourself. Our harmony with our Creator gives us full meaning of our existence, who we are. What do we do here? Why are we present on this earth? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's knowing who you are in front of God. Next would be love energized harmony with others. Our harmony as human beings are better understood with a better humanized and better humanized in Christ through the Spirit's power. Understanding the others. And sometimes it's hard, just like living with the Muslim and living with the tribal communities, working with them. Sometimes you struggle, and the waiting period, sometimes the impatience in you just just rise up. Because you don't have that Canadian on-time thing. Like when you set an appointment with a tribal leader, even when you say 10 o'clock, you will be waiting and waiting and waiting until they are ready. And the waiting just kills me. But I have to learn to adjust. So that's loving your neighbor and understanding your neighbor. I cannot work within my comfort zone only, but also understanding how they think. And it says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Next would be love energized, harmony with the creation. If we have that relationship with our Creator, and if we know our existence here on earth, and we are loving our neighbor, we will not poison the soil that we live together, because we know that it will affect the others, and it will affect us, and it will affect other creation. Just like people living up in the mountain, if we cut all the trees up in the mountain, therefore there's no more trees who would hold those waters, then there would be flash flood and soil erosion that would cause flooding for people who live downstream. That would make our river so shallow, therefore would drive away the fishes that lives in those rivers. So everything is interconnected. So we cannot say, I want to do this because I want to. But we have to have that framework of, I want to do this, but how would it affect others? How would it affect God's creation? And we have to think that if we want to live out love. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So live out love starts from us. Live out love is willingness to obey and trust the one who called you. I will show you our Mount Apo cluster community. And we started working with them in 2013 through the invitation of the Catholic Relief Services. They said that they have coffee in the area, but they don't have market for it. So we agreed to work with them on the condition that they take peace and reconciliation as foundation for what they do. We always see to it that the message of peace is integrated on our coffee training or on our livelihood training. Because this peace, the harmonies that I am talking about, is the heart of whatever you do. This is the heart of your being. Your relational harmony with your Creator, relational harmony with your being, relational harmony with others, and relational harmony with the creation. Skills are easy to learn, but the values are harder. And we have to integrate that as we do the training with them. So these people, after 3 years of Peace Builders and Coffee for Peace training them, elevated their livelihood income from $85 per month to $420 per month in a matter of 3 years. They are building stone houses that can withstand storms. They are sending their children to school, and they are practicing peace and reconciliation in their community. You would see that there are two parts. The other side would be the migrants. The migrants who used to work for a logging corporation who cut all the trees on that mountain way back in the 1960s. When all the trees were cut, the company left, and the employees were left there with no jobs. And here comes the government, okay, we have to replenish that mountain. Here are the coffee trees. Plant it. So they planted it. So now they have coffee trees, but they don't have market. Meanwhile, these people on this side are the tribal communities who are original dwellers of this land when there were so many trees. But because they are quiet people, and then they don't like to fight, they would just leave, so they went down the mountain. They are called the Bagobo tribe. One day, the tribal leader asked me, "Why are you helping them? They are the ones who took our land and now living in that area where we used to live. Why are you helping them?" And I asked the tribal leader, "What can I do for you, for your community?" So we had a meeting with the tribal leaders, and these two are very strong women that are standing for their communities. So right now, we are passing the knowledge, and we are using the first community that we have trained as our co-trainers for this Bagobo tribe, so that the wealth is passed on to these people. So there will be sharing of wealth. So now they are working together, and we are continuing on our project with this Bagobo tribe, helping them to realize their dream. We have a volunteer right now who's a landscape architect, and I was just telling him, the dream that we have for the community. And then we sat down with the community and asked them, "What do you think can we do for your community?" And they shared with us what they wanted. They wanted to restore their cultural heritage, like weaving. They wanted to restore their music, their language, and their dances. And we got so excited. And we presented this to them, and now we will be walking with them as we realize this dream. This helps them in regaining that dignity that they once had. I'll show you the next community, which is the Bukidnon Cluster Community. Here we have three different tribes that we're working with: the Talaandig tribe, the Higaonon tribe, and the Matigsalog tribe. These two are the pastors that we work with. We have partnered with them since 2012, and they have espoused the peace and reconciliation in their theology. And during that time, they said that they have never been to any tribal communities because they are scared. And we brought them to one of the tribes, and now they are continuing the work. They are training the tribal communities to have livelihood, and they are training the communities on peace and reconciliation. That small building there that's drawn is being built right now, almost finished. They have just put the roofing on top of it. That would be their meeting center. That would be where the church would be. And they call the church Beyond Borders Community Church. It would also be a youth center, and we call it Kalinaw Youth Center, meaning Peace Youth Center. There's a university near that area, and the New People's Army, or the Communist Party, recruits from that university. We wanted to present an alternative. which is the Peace and Reconciliation group. And the university allowed us to have that, to have presence at that university. And all those young people that will be recruited to become Peace and Reconciliation ambassadors will be meeting there. So that's the, before I left, this is how the building looks like. And we are wanting to look it like that. And we have started them selling their own coffee called Kapeyapaan. It's also meaning peace. This center is God's given grace to them. We have worked with the other partners so that we could have this building. And God has been good because the Lord hears our prayer. The next community is the Kalinga Cluster Community. The Kalinga is upper north, but there are also conflict areas in that part of northern Philippines. Started by one of the Peace Builders intern, Twinkle, that when she went back to her own village, she applied what she learned from Mindanao. And she was able to recruit her own tribal community, her own family, even her grandmother, into this peace and reconciliation. Twinkle Bautista, one of the interns we used to have in 2012, now working with me as I'm training her to have all the skills and all the knowledge that I have so that they could continue on the work. We wanted to produce more of people like us who love God and would serve the community so that we can really have that expanded service. Right now we are working with 600 families, three clusters, and we are projecting that we would reach out to 500 more. So, living out love means dying and letting God live in our lives. I will show you this video. It's called The Community Transformation Catalyst that was put up by my husband. A small glimpse of what we do. Thank you very much, and let's become a catalyst of change. Live out love.